Welcome back to Cardinals Corner here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The ticket online at WTK.com. Thanks to freshman Colin Webb from the men's lacrosse team. He is a good sport for his first interview. Did a good job and appreciate his time. And hopefully he and his team have good success this week and moving forward. We'll of course continue to talk men's lacrosse throughout the next many weeks here on the show as their season continues. Before we get going again, we remind you for all your academic information, CUAA.edu. That's CUAA.edu. A lot of great videos there about how you can live uncommon at Concordia University here in Ann Arbor. They have information on all the programs that are offered, visit days, contact information, and more. CUAA.edu. For your athletic information, there's ConcordiaCardinals.com. You can download the Concordia Cardinals Athletics app, and you can listen to this show, Cardinals Corner, right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. So we go from lacrosse to track and field. We bring on Coach Andrew Termenstein. He's been on the show before, and we welcome him back. Coach, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, happy to have you back here on the show, and I don't think it would surprise anybody if they click to ConcordiaCardinals.com that as the rotator goes through with all the big graphics that right there, All-American, Stephanie Johnson. I mean, it's almost like not breaking news anymore. It's kind of old hat for you guys, right? At this point, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, we're very happy to have her get to that level again, especially at the national stage. So very happy to have her.
So, but now she's a senior. So it's like you've had her for 4 years. We've talked about her now for 4 years on this show, and it's been a lot of fun to watch her growth. Can you talk about like how different she might be as a runner from 4 years ago to now? Are there a lot of differences, or is she just a little bit faster?
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, she's grown in her maturity in the events that she's been undertaking the past 4 years. It's been, fun as she's gone to indoor nationals each of her 4 years to see her grow in the competitiveness at that level, and able to actually be an All-American more than once is amazing, and let alone the 3 times that she's done it.
Yeah, she has 7 total All-American citations in her career. I don't know what your expectations were for her when she was coming to campus, but I'd have to venture a guess and say that whatever they were, that she has exceeded them.
Yes, obviously we knew that there was something special when Steph stepped on campus, but for her to do what she's done, especially with not a big background in the sport, is quite amazing.
So talk about the growth of, more of a generic conversation, but the generic growth or the growth of a runner when they come on campus. And you know that they're not going to be at their best when they're here as a freshman. You want to build them up, and each year is a growth year, et cetera. What kind of a program do you put them on to make sure that they are on that right track of getting better physically, getting faster, all the different things that go into being a runner? Because it's not just going out there and running. It's eating right. It's training. It's making sure that you peak at the right time and taper at the right time. Can you walk us through that process a little bit?
Right. No, that's you kind of hit on some good points there. Obviously diet, sleep schedule, how we train is very important to the success of the athlete. As we bring athletes in that first year, the coaching staff will talk about, what do we do in this first year that may help progress them into what we see in 2-3 years down the road? We've had some of those conversations with our current freshmen that are competing for us right now. It's definitely something that you, as a staff, want to make aware to each other and sometimes to clue in on the athlete's perspective of, hey, this is where you're running right now. This is what we're seeing on the success level right now. Let's take a kind of a hit to that success and train in a way that's going to make you better in the long run in your given events.
All right, so we don't want to shortchange the other members of the senior class as they wrapped up their indoor seasons as well a little before, obviously, going to down to nationals. So we'll get to the teams in general and talk about the seniors on both of your indoor men's and women's teams as we also to talk about preparing them for the outdoors. But I do want to talk about Bryant Hudson. He qualified for nationals in the 60-meter hurdles. Liz Larson qualified in the 3,000-meter race walk. And the race walk is always a fascinating thing for me. How do you not run? Like when you, right? Like it's like I talk about this in option football. Everyone wants to just go at the ball, but you have an assignment and you can't break that assignment. But if I'm walking really fast and I want to walk faster, eventually I'm running. So
right.
How do you not run?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something I'm as new to it probably as most of the listeners are there. We kind of fell into Liz coming to campus here, and it's definitely something that I've had to wrap my brain around. And you're absolutely right. You know, there's definitely that want to just break the rules and go as fast as you can. So it's definitely something that takes a lot of training, a lot of discipline. She was one who came with a background in race walking before coming here, so it was a little easier to onboard her into what we needed to do.
So the follow-up question that I have is, I'm assuming that, you know, in a regular, say, the 400, right, you're watching the track, you're making sure that people stay in their lanes or whatever, and those, you know, you're not getting a false start. There's the things that we are all very accustomed to and seeing in track. There, it's a pretty, not easy to do, but the concepts of track, you're on a track, you're running. And the field event's obviously more complicated, but we're talking about on the track here. But the walking part of it, are there more eyeballs watching to make sure that nobody is doing that next step because you are walking and not running? Is there, like, I'm trying to just in my head envision what the, you know, what's that breaking point between walking and running?
No, you're absolutely right. There are usually 3 to 4 officials spread out around the track that are passing along each athlete as they go to make sure that they aren't in violation of any rules. Then infractions will affect your overall time or get you disqualified, depending on how severe you are breaking a rule.
Gotcha. All right. See, I wouldn't mind the walking part. It's the the next level of it where it's actually called a race walk. I can do the walking part. I can walk up. Right. I walked the 7 mile beach in the grill. I mean, I can walk. I can't race walk, but I can walk. It's fascinating to me, and it's great that you had three athletes compete at the National Indoor Championships. Of course, you have expectations again as you move into the outdoor season, although you look outside, I can't imagine we're talking about outdoor track right now, but it's right around the corner. But I do have a follow-up question before we talk about your teams and the seniors moving into the outdoor season. I had a chance recently to go to the new indoor building here, the other one here in Ann Arbor here at U of M, and they were showing me the bank track and everything. As a coach, can you like find as many bank indoor tracks as possible to get your athletes on because it's better on the knees? It probably increases speed times. Is that something you look for, or are you just hoping that when you get places they have tracks that are a little bit maybe better on the knees than some of the other ones?
Yeah, for us right now, it's more finding a competition level.
Okay.
So we're not as worried maybe about the facility. We do take that into account a little bit as we plan our meet schedule. Especially for indoor, but for the most part, it's finding the competition level. So it's within our conference, we battle with some of the top teams in the nation, Indiana Tech being runner-up this year, both men and women. So it's definitely something where we want to push our athletes, but at the same time, we are not necessarily at that competitive level on the national stage, so we want to find viable competition that's going to push every level of our athlete.
Gotcha. And the fact that the one at U of M is on hydraulics, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And you can feel the difference when you're on the track, too. So you say you're not looking for services, but when you get somewhere, do you and the athletes walk that track to kind of get a feel? Because every track probably feels a little bit, especially indoors, probably feel a little bit different.
Right, yeah. I mean, we're usually there in enough time to have most of the athletes get 45 minutes to an hour of a warm-up and really get a feel for what that facility is like. Now, obviously, returners, we've been to a lot of meets time and time again here through the last 4 years that returners will have they can visualize the track, they can prepare themselves in that way and know the facility. But we definitely try to get to meets early on and prep them for that in the week beforehand of letting them know, hey, this is a 200-meter track. Returners will have an idea of what this facility is like. You know, talk to the freshmen about that. We definitely try to prep our athletes in every way we can for that, you know, game time, if you will, type of scenario.
Talking to Andrew Termenstein here on Cardinals Corner, Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. I do want to mention Brian as well, the 60-meter hurdles. Got to give him a shout-out. My co-host in the morning, Sam Webb, would be very disappointed if I didn't mention that Brian Hudson is from Flint, Michigan, a product of Flint, Carmen, Ainsworth. Now, that's not Sam's school, but he is proud of all the people that come out of Flint. especially the ones that compete at the at a high level. And he was able to, Bryant was, to compete in the 60-meter hurdles at the national level as well. So it's got to be fun for you. That it seems like each year maybe it's one more athlete going to nationals. And so as you keep this thing going, one of these days you're not going to be talking about, you know, a half a dozen plus athletes heading off to nationals, bringing home maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4 All-American citations. That'll be a fun day.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to it, and definitely, you know, having Bryant at that stage again, you know, 2 years ago, being able to come down as a sophomore is real great to get him back at that stage. It's something that you know, he and I have talked quite a bit about. Of last year, having a little sour taste in our mouth from some injuries, and really wanting this year to get back to nationals. And it took every single indoor race up until the last one to qualify, but he did it, and we're very, very proud of what he has accomplished.
And last time I checked, whether you qualify in your first race or your last race, you still qualify. And so that was pretty cool. And he, as you mentioned, he got to go back. So he is one of the seniors on the men's side of things. Obviously, Stephanie is one of the seniors on the women's side of things. You're senior athletes. Have, you know, when you get to that last indoor meet, obviously they saw the outdoor season as well, but when you get to that last indoor meet, do you, you know, have those conversations with them about, you know, the last time kind of thing? Do they talk to you about it as they have those bittersweet moments for the senior athletes?
Yeah, you know, some do, some don't. With outdoor still yet to go, it's not as maybe of a realization for our seniors, absolutely, that they are going to be done here, with competition, you know, for their career. But it's definitely something that we try to make honor to as we feel fit, and as those athletes, you know, get that realization that, hey, this is my last indoor race. I haven't qualified for nationals, and you know, give it all I can.
So now it's the transition into from the indoor season to the outdoor season. What's that transition like from the athlete's perspective? Because it really is, forget the weather part of it, forget that wind can play a factor in some of the events, et cetera. It is, I've talked to enough athletes now, track athletes now, over the last few years to really, I think, understand how different it is to be running indoors versus running outdoors. And it is, you know, when the track is a lot bigger, obviously outdoors, so you're the less bend on the track. There's a lot of things that go into it. So what's the transition like as you go from indoor to outdoors? The first outdoor competitions are, what, about 3 weeks away?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a different sport, a different scenario for every event. There's a couple that get added, obviously, with the throws. And then it's just mental preparation of getting yourself ready for the cold and spending some time in it. The distance runners usually have a little easier transition because they're outside a little longer than we are in the indoor season. The sprinters, jumpers, hurdlers, and throwers takes a little more of a shock to the system. So it's definitely getting them used to the elements again, spending some time out there. But as far as transitioning from season to season, you know, we usually give our athletes not really a break, but a downshift of maybe the intensity and the rigors of what we're doing, just because we, you know, like you said, we are still 3 weeks here from our first meet. It's going to come quick, but you know, we've got time to kind of retool and get things ready for events on the outdoor stage.
If you gave your athletes off too much time in track, I'm assuming that even like this, if you said, all right, no track for a week and then we'll get back to it, that week can really set you back, can it?
It could, yes, absolutely, depending on what you're doing in that week. You know, as some of our athletes will find, the sharpness of how they execute in their events will start to fade. So that's definitely something that we take into account. Of you're going to take the week here to kind of downshift, look a little bit more like a recovery week, but we're still going to have some touch time on what you're going to do to excel in your events.
Talking to Andrew Termenstein for a few more minutes here on Cardinals Corner, Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. So a quick glance at the outdoor schedule shows, so it's really 2.5 weeks till the that opening event at Alma College, and then you obviously don't compete a whole lot here at home. It's kind of a unique scenario for you guys. Do your athletes ever talk about, hey, can't we have a home meet?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a little bit of a disadvantage, especially more from a training standpoint of us being able to be able to train on a facility that's competition ready. But for the most part, there's a little bit of groaning about having to travel all the time to compete. But for the most part, it's not a big complaint. Most of our athletes are just happy to be able to compete.
So I do want to ask you about the, as we talked about, you know, getting being at your best at the peak times, tapering at the right times. When you look at the schedule, you have a couple of events in March. You obviously have a full calendar of duels and other events in April, but it's May that you look at, and May is championship season in outdoor track. So how do you make sure that you're getting the results you want at Alma or at the Eastern Twilight down in Indiana in March, or at those events in Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, et cetera, in April, that you get the results you want there, but that you're not peaking too early because you have the WAC Outdoors May 3rd and 4th. You have the athletes that qualify the end of May, you have the NAI National Outdoors. How do you make sure you're winning, competing, et cetera, but also not peaking too early because you want to make sure that your athletes are at their best, running their fastest May 3rd and 4th at the WAC Outdoors?
Yeah, that's a good question. We definitely focus our training around improving what we're doing and improving times. And so obviously if we have a competition that is gone very well for an athlete, we'll think about maybe recharging them a little bit with training that's going to then tax the system a little bit or tax how they're being able to perform. So we'll have maybe a couple of down weeks within the mix where the focus is on maybe not competing that well at the meet on the weekend or taking the week off from competition so that when we hit competition weeks again, we're ready to fire. So it's a talk with the athlete and with the coaching staff on making sure that everyone is being pushed towards that May kind of release point of that's when we're going to be ready and going with all cylinders.
All right, before we let you go, we talked briefly about the seniors, kind of their last go around. How about the freshmen on their first go around? Have you had any freshmen that have really surprised you so far this year?
Yeah, we're definitely excited about on the distance side, freshman Gabby Porter, who had a very good cross year and indoor here, has started to perform very well in the mid-distance events. So we're excited about what she can produce once it comes to the outdoor season. Again, she's one that we may kind of have some conversations with on making this a big training year and having some of the performance side of things falter as a result. With her, it's just getting her in and out of a freshman year without too much injury and without too much trouble.
All right, before I let you go, this is a little bit more of a selfish question, but a lot of people can get an answer out of this or get something out of the answer that you're going to provide. So my daughter is approaching her fifth birthday, and she runs everywhere. Do you have any recommendations of what you should do? Because, I mean, it's running, so she can run in a lot of different sports. Do you have any recommendations if, and we're in Saline, meaning she's eventually going to end up in that cross-country program, because I think everybody in Saline does. Are there recommendations of what young kids can do to maybe harness that beginning of a potential running career?
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about when you see your children bouncing around and wanting to get them into programs that are going to be able to have them flourish. I definitely would say that a variety of what the athlete does at an early age will help with development. So obviously, going into a pinpoint of travel league or going into a certain event stream right away and focusing on all that from 5 years on up can actually be detrimental to the development of the athlete. So I always preach a variety of training, so getting them into a lot of different skilled sport arenas is probably going to be the best for the development.
I love hearing coaches tell that, because I've talked to pro coaches, college coaches, high school coaches, et cetera, and except maybe your last year in high school, if you're going to an elite school for football or basketball or something like that, or really almost any sport, you can start to specialize. But most coaches want you to be as diverse as possible to just to pick up as many skills, et cetera. So I love hearing that. And the more that gets reinforced, the more I appreciate it, because I know it's like last year's NFL draft, I think 90-something% were two-sport athletes in high school, if not more than two-sport athletes in high school. And, you know, that factors down to every other sport, whether it's running track or playing soccer or being a swimmer or whatever. They just to try to do as much different skill set as you possibly can. So hearing it from as many coaches as I possibly can is very beneficial. So I appreciate that. I was not necessarily expecting them, maybe a little bit expecting that answer, but I do appreciate that answer as well. And, of course, always appreciate your time, Coach, as you join us here on the show all the time to talk about your team. And your team has had a great indoor season with some All-American citations. And, of course, now it's time or almost time for the outdoor season. We will ignore the weather part of that. And good luck to the beginning part of the outdoor season. And we will catch up with you very soon.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks to Coach Andrew Termenstein for joining us here on the show. We step aside, take a break. Athletic Director Lonnie Priest joins us here on Cardinals Corner, Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.